Oh, what's up, brother?
What's up, brother?
What's up, brother?
What's up, dad?
What's up, guys? I don't know. We're just here to talk about some special teams and some special players.
Whenever I hear somebody say, "What's up, brother?" I think of Hulk Hogan being like,
What's up, brother? Eat your vitamins and say your prayers. I've got a bone to pick with you. You gonna rip your shirt open too?
Please don't. Please keep your clothes on.
We are the Dynamite Sports Podcast. I'm Dad, and I'm here with my three sons, Tyler, Noah, and Trey, and we're here to talk to you about sports. It's been a minute since we've been able to check in with our followers, so we're so glad you get to have you guys back here. And so we're going to talk about the world of sports. We got to take a step back. The NCAA tournament was a big focus for us in our household here, and we had a great time watching the tournament. The UConn Huskies came out on top. Trey is over there smiling like a Cheshire cat because in our brackets, Trey came out on top as the winner. He had UConn as the winner, and he had the most wins. So Trey, take your victory lap.
Bow to me.
All right.
We won't be back.
Only reason you won is because I didn't play.
Well, Noah does all of his research, gives me all of these takes, and then suddenly I'm like,
I stand atop alone.
Hey, my South Carolina bracket worked. Okay.
Everyone's South Carolina bracket worked.
Everyone's UConn bracket worked, so
Noah was very happy because he said he won the women's tournament bracket challenge. He was the only one of us that actually did a women's tournament bracket. So congrats. But speaking of the women's tournament, we've been missing Tyler. And so Tyler was missing from our last podcast because he was not in Florida. He was up in Indiana. So
I
Tyler,
am
talk to
so
us.
sorry.
Oh, that's $5, Trey.
Yeah, really. We got to fine you for that.
Wow.
Put it in the cursed hat.
That was impressive.
Thank you.
So going back, Tyler was in Indiana with the Florida Gulf Coast women's team. And so Tyler, why don't you talk to us about your experience?
Bloomington was actually pretty cool. We also traveled up to Indianapolis. It seems like those are pretty much the only two cool parts of the state. It is the Midwest, so there's a lot of cows and horses.
In court.
It was overall, I had a great time. Unfortunately, they didn't win their opening game. I'm not gonna come out and lambast NCAA women's referees. But they were, well, actually, I will. They were atrocious. Especially in that game. They're notoriously bad in women's basketball. And disappointing end of the year. But you couldn't have really asked for a better game from them. They only lost by three, even after all of that, to a pretty stacked Indiana roster. All right, pretty stacked Oklahoma roster, excuse me. And Oklahoma ended up keeping it close against Indiana. Indiana came back from like down 20 to keep it close against South Carolina. So, it's a disappointing end of the year, but it's nice to know that we could have made it that far.
Absolutely. And you brought the energy. We were looking for you on the broadcast, and we did not see you until the final shot of the game because you were down in the corner of the band with your
And
saxophone.
I called a foul.
And you were just shaking the fist, calling, "It's a foul, it's a foul."
Dolly Cairns very obviously gets slapped on the arm on a 3-point attempt, and that was probably the worst missed call. I was doing it the whole game. I had the worst tension headache of my entire life, just from screaming. And it was so loud in there. You have no idea. That place gets echoey and loud.
And the crowd was loud on the telecast also. The women's tournament didn't have many surprises, really. Not a lot of upsets. That FGCU Oklahoma upset would have been a great one, but there really
The
weren't a lot of
referees keep it
upsets.
that way.
But even if they did, they certainly got us to the matchups that we wanted to see at the end, with Caitlin Clark having to go through LSU and then having to face down South Carolina. And what a team Dawn Staley had in South Carolina. Those games were super exciting, compelling. The storylines were great. They were competitive. The women's tournament really captured America's attention, and I think it's here to stay.
I mean, even that UConn game, if you remember, Paige was what everyone thought Caitlin Clark was going to be. Or, well, rather, Caitlin Clark is everything we thought Paige was going to be when she first got to NCAA basketball. And unfortunately, she spent a couple of years pretty injured. And she's going to be back next year. So hopefully, she gets her ring next year.
Well, it will be great to watch. Yes, she's coming back. LSU is still going to have a great team. And, of course, South Carolina, it's going to be hard to unseat for anybody, I think.
So, I think it's pretty easy to say that women's basketball did it better this year, huh?
Oh, no, they definitely did.
Just because, and because of the storylines.
You can even see it in the viewership. There was at least 3,000 or 3 million or something more viewers than the men's tournament. Very obvious.
Yeah, some of those Iowa games are the most viewed basketball games in ESPN history. That's insane.
And,
they broke the record every single weekend that they set the previous weekend.
They beat NBA, the last several NBA finals. Like, you have to go way back.
Yeah, the women's tournament finals, it beat the record for the highest viewed national championship ever.
Yeah. It was more viewed than all but like 8 NCAA football games, which is ESPN's biggest property.
Yeah.
By far. It's insane.
I think the only reason that the women's beat out the men's was because of those storylines. Because if the storylines weren't there, then the men's would have beat it because of all the upsets. Oakland over Kentucky. I can't really
think of the men's tournament doesn't get those storylines like that anymore because nobody stays around for multiple years.
Correct. Yeah, the heyday for me, the peak of the tournament when I was younger was the years that Duke had like Bobby Hurley and Christian Laettner, and you watched them for 4 years and you either loved them or you hated them, and there was always a foil for Duke and a team like UNLV or the Fab Five from Michigan that would be a totally different style, and it was a battle of styles, and there were so many layers to those, and that was really what made the tournament outstanding back then. But now you're right, that the top players, a Christian Laettner or a Chris Webber, would be a one and done and be in the NBA, even if certainly the men's tournament has lost a little bit about that. I think the thing that makes the men's tournament exciting is that there's so little difference now between the Blue Bloods and those mid-major teams that get into the tournament, that there are a lot of upsets because there's not as much of a difference between the top Power Five conferences and the mid-majors.
I think what would have made that men's tournament good was if Indiana State was in it. Storylines.
That would have been a great storyline. Yeah. I hear he's entered the portal also, so he's coming back next year and he's going to move on.
Speaking of the portal, head coach was also poached. So,
God, we're going to see Bronny James go into the NBA.
I think he's declaring for the draft so that he can work out of the NBA teams. I doubt he actually enters the NBA draft for real. I mean, let's cut the guy some slack. He had a heart attack like less than 12 months ago.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think that people are hitting him too hard right now. He's still a good player. Like, you can't deny that.
I mean, he'll probably transfer somewhere with an NBA city. And he's only leaving at USC because they're losing their head coach as well. So I think it'll be interesting. I could definitely see him playing at like Syracuse or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's transition now to NBA talk, since we're talking a little NBA right now. And so the NBA season is ending actually as we are recording this. We're watching kind of their version of Red Zone here with all these games coming down to the wire. Of course, we hide nothing about this podcast in that the boys are super homer Miami Heat fans. So the Miami Heat look to be on track for the play-ins. And so, Tyler, where do you see the Miami Heat this season, their journey, and where they're going?
Well, they're in the bottom five in terms of games missed by players in terms of injury. Or even just load management, but they're the only one that are bottom five that are above 500. They're the only ones that are remotely looking at a playoff spot. And even today, they may still be looking at a playoff spot as opposed to a play-in spot. They could be anywhere between the fifth and the eighth seed. So that's what's really interesting about the NBA this season, is that everyone is very close together, especially in the East. There were four or five teams still looking for playoff spots today, which is the final day of the NBA season. And clinching scenarios included them winning and the Pacers, the Magic, and I believe the 76ers all losing for the fifth seed, which is insane considering that a lot of Miami fans are just absolutely down in their feels.
And as you say that, Tyler, the Miami Heat have clinched the play-in tournament. They will be playing the Sixers.
Yeah, all those games went the wrong direction. Was that a typo? Indiana scored 157 today.
Indiana.
Yeah, that's not a typo. That offense is incredible.
Yep.
But that's also very interesting because the NBA seems to have fixed its officiating problem and fixed its scoring problem. Post All-Star break, this is the lowest scoring has been in something like 20 years. Mm-hmm. The under is hit something like 71% of the time I've seen. Post All-Star break, free throws are down. This is the least penalized the NBA has ever been. So that's just incredible. I mean, you may credit that to Joel Embiid just not playing. He shoots like 14 free throws a game. So
as we move into the playoffs, Noah wanted to talk about some of the end of the year awards in the NBA. So we picked out a few of them. Coach of the year, who you got, Noah?
I have the amazing coach from Orlando winning that because of their comeback, similar to how we saw D'Amico Ryan's this last year in the NFL. I feel like they came off slipping around the whole time, and now they're putting together some good offensive plays. Now they're going to be obviously a playoff team in the fifth seed. So
that would be Jamal Mosley. He does have a name. He's the Jamal amazing Mosley. Coach. Okay, thank you.
Not just the amazing coach.
Yeah, I think he's a really good coach, and he's putting together a really good young team.
It is amazing to see the transformation, the Magic being relevant. I actually went to a game last year and got to take them in. They were a fun young squad last year that just didn't have enough juice to win enough games, but this year they're really putting it together. Anybody else have any coach of the year candidates they want to talk about?
I'm going to take Mark Daynault. He's the head coach for the Oklahoma City Thunder. That squad looks absolutely fantastic. He's the favorite right now in terms of betting. But also he's absolutely elevated that squad since he got there in 2020. He's led the turnaround in this era post Chris Paul, post Russell Westbrook, post Paul George. And this is a fantastic squad that should make a deep run in the playoffs.
I'm going to agree with Tyler on this one. I feel like he took them from relevant in like that Russell Westbrook, that Chris Paul down to, and then they went irrelevant so quickly. So somehow, and then now they're relevant again, really relevant. In fact,
well, they were tanking, but they've gotten a ton of young players and high draft picks, including, you know, Chet Holmgren, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who they got in exchange for Paul George. And they've gotten Josh Giddey, who was another high draft pick. So it's Jalen Williams is another one. But that's a very young team. They should be around for a little while.
Yeah, I think really what it should be is GM of the year, because they have a bunch of picks and they have a bunch of really good players. All
that would be Sam Presti.
Yeah, Sam Presti should be the coach of the year, if anything, for them. Because he's got a really good future that he's putting together there, too.
I mean, he's been the GM of the Thunder since they traded away James Harden. So,
mm-hmm.
And Tyler, as a young kid, was an OKC fan. And so
I loved Russell Westbrook.
Is this the year for OKC? Is this the year where they got a shot? Oh, there's the hat.
I've had the hat since I was probably like 12 years old. Unfortunately, I don't think this is their year. Minnesota looks absolutely fantastic. They still have to get through what the Phoenix Suns, the Golden State Warriors, potentially the Lakers. Those are veteran squads that you can't ever count out in the playoffs. And there are some absolute superstars from the 2010s on those teams. So it's going to be absolutely like a difficult road. My favorite to get out of the West are still the Nuggets. Like, let's not forget about Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. That team is absolutely dominant. So, you know, it might not be their year, but it's coming up.
Well, let's roll back to our end of the year awards. Defensive player of the year.
It's so obviously Wemby. I can't choose any other way. I really feel like it's going to be Wemby. I mean, dude, he's just so dominant. And he can block anyone. He can play against anyone. And I really think the big three for this award should be Wemby, Gobert, and nobody has said it yet, but I'm going to say it. Bam should be in that big three because Bam can guard anyone. Have you seen him? He can guard Curry. He can guard Jokic. He can guard anyone in the league.
So I was watching a video the other day, And you guys know those like bubbles that show like percentages, and like the larger the area, the better the player. Mm-hmm. It was using that with all these defensive stats. And Bam Adebayo was the second best defender on that list. But far and away, Rudy Gobert is the best defender in this league by a long shot. Wemby has the counting stats, but the team defense is just not there yet for the Spurs. So I think Gobert takes it this year, and Wemby wins the next like up 12. So
yeah. The thing about Wemby is that he's going to block a shot even if he's not in the game. He's so long.
I think it's crazy to say this, but Victor Wembanyama's floor is the greatest defender of all time.
Oh, yeah.
It's Slenderman.
At the very worst, that's what he'll be, is the greatest defender of all time. I don't even think that's an insane thing to say.
Okay, so my next question was supposed to be Rookie of the Year. Do we need to even discuss that?
There's not even a question.
DraftKings actually closed their bet making for Rookie of the Year. They're no longer offering that on their website.
That's too funny.
Yeah. Okay.
So I can't believe that was even a debate.
Rookie of the Year, Victor Wembanyama. Okay, very good. MVP.
Okay. Oh boy, I've got a hot take. I'm going to start this one.
Okay.
So I think it will. So we're talking will be or should be. That's a huge difference.
Give us each one.
Okay, so I think it will be Jokic. He's playing lights out. There's no question about it. But I think it should be Luka Doncic.
Yes, it needs to be Luka.
It should be, because
that's the correct take.
Correct, yes. Trey. Perfect.
So his
perfect
team
analysis, so Tony.
The team that he's playing on is not doing very well, though. That's the problem, is that his team isn't that successful, and team success is a big part of MVP now, I guess.
Mavericks have been the best MVPs, team in the NBA
and they won the ring.
Right.
And that's kind of stupid, because why? I mean,
the
Mavericks
are actually set to break the record for offensive rating this season.
And it's all because of Luka.
The amount of points you score.
Let's be
100
honest.
Minutes.
Dude, Luka and Kyrie, that's just a duo. Like
that feels illegal.
I know. Like the best handles and maybe the best shooter right now in the
it
league.
Is,
over
it
the
is
last 2 weeks.
Goofy.
They've looked like the best team in the NBA over the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It looks truly like LeBron and Kyrie Irving in 2016 again.
Oh, yeah. Luka looks so...
Let's not put Luka in LeBron conversation, guys.
I'm putting him in the LeBron conversation.
He plays a LeBron. LeBron. I mean, he's 6'7".
No, he does not. They are the same size, and that is it. Luka does not play anything like LeBron. He's a fat white guy. Give us our props, all right?
Hey. Don't say that about Luka.
All right.
He is.
I love him, Brad.
He's Jokic, but shorter.
All right. So we've talked about a lot of teams through this process here. And so what I want to see is get the early read. We haven't started the playoffs yet, but early read on your finals predictions. Who's coming out of the East and the West for you?
I don't like it. I don't want to say it, but it's the Celtics are going to come out of the East. They just look so good. It's almost no question. I don't think there's much to it. Is there?
Hey, Trey, I think you forgot about someone.
Just don't do this.
His name is Playoff Jimmy.
That's fair, but...
Jimmy hasn't been able to turn it on at all this season.
Because it's not the playoffs yet.
The Heat have been their kryptonite. I just don't know if the Heat have enough in the tank this year for them.
I don't know if the Heat will get to Boston.
Harrow's back.
So the thing about...
Jaime's here. It's time for some shining... amazing Heat basketball.
No, I think we've seen the end of Playoff Jimmy. I don't think he's got it in the tank. After last season with the Nuggets, I just can't trust Playoff Jimmy.
All right, well, Noah is Dallas. On this bandwagon. He's driving the bandwagon. So, Noah, you
Dallas, Miami.
Yeah, and the wheels are coming off, dude. They're in the play-in.
Here they come.
They were 3 minutes away from not leaving the play-in last season. They're there again.
We're going to have to mark
the
video.
Philadelphia.
Joel Embiid
was on a historic pace this season before he got hurt.
He's not going to play
that. He's going to set the scoring record. He's not going to play the game. It's the play-in. He has to. What are you saying?
We're going to have to save this video. We're going to have to cut this out because we're going to come back to this one way or another.
You're going to get drawn and quartered for this.
I'm going to take my phone and be like, well, you want to take some stuff back now?
You're going to want to take it back, Trey.
This is an insane take.
I love
Miami. Coming out of the East.
I die for my Miami Heat, but this is not the year.
Excuse me. They've come out of the East 3 times in a row, and I have not expected them to come out.
They have not come out of the East 3 times in a row.
3 out of like the last 4 years. Sorry.
All right, so Tyler, be the voice.
Two
of
out of the last four. Who two out of the last? Two out of the last four. They've come.
Who
out
do
of
you have in the finals?
They have to go through the Boston Celtics, who were a historically good team before they decided to rest their starters for the rest of the year. They were at like 55 wins before anyone was at 50. Okay, that's number one. Even if Giannis is hurt, they still have to face Damian Lillard, who has looked like he's carrying the Bucks for the entire season. They're like 1-12 without him. Okay. Action. And then they have to face the Pacers, who they haven't been able to beat. I'm sorry, I'm a huge Miami Heat fan, but this is not the year. This is gonna look like 2021 all over again. They're gonna be first round exits.
I can't wait.
That's okay. I'm in right here. They're gonna struggle to get out of the play-in against Philadelphia. They struggled to get out of the play-in last year against Chicago. Chicago's like a lottery team this year.
The problem isn't the Heat. The problem is
the competition.
Yeah, the problem is the entire East.
Jimmy has to turn it up to 11 like he never has before. He's got to put up 50 points a game, much
less
40.
He's got to turn it up to 20.
I get that he was really good last year. But it wasn't even him that was carrying them through games. It was Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, and Max Strus. Two of those guys aren't on the roster, and Caleb Martin is stealing money actively from the Miami Heat organization. Dude's been terrible the last couple weeks.
Now, is it a bigger robbery than Joe Burrow?
No. Haywood Highsmith has been their leading scorer over the last week or so. This is not a playoff team right now.
All right, well then tell us who your finals teams are, Tyler.
Out of the East, I will probably take the Boston Celtics, as much as it pains me to say it. There's just nobody else that compares to them when they're healthy, when they're playing everybody. And then out of the West, I'm picking the Nuggets. It's going to be unstoppable for force versus immovable object. And Nikola Jokic is actually both of those things, the unstoppable force and the immovable object. So
Tyler's got
Boston. I think the Nuggets are just going to repeat. I don't see anybody beating Jokic.
For the record, Tyler's got Boston and Denver. Trey, who did you have again?
I had Boston and I had OKC.
All right. And Noah, you have Miami and
Dallas.
Okay. I was Boston, Denver also with my prediction for the record, but I don't have as much of a strong opinion on this. Okay. We got to cool it down a little bit. So let's talk about a sport that moves a little bit slower and let's turn our attention to the Major League Baseball season. It is underway.
A little bit slower.
Boring. Our hometown Rays
game a couple weeks ago
are 8-7 currently. They're up big right now, so they could be 9-7. So the Rays start, guys. Is it what you expected? Are you disappointed? Are you excited? Where do you stand with the Rays?
I am very disappointed, like by far.
This is exactly what I expected.
So tell us why you're disappointed, Trey.
Because we went 15-0 last year. We went 25-3. I was disappointed by the end of the year, but now I think I'm even more disappointed because we started it off 25-3 last year, and now we're starting off 8-7. That's just
this is a very different roster from last year.
It doesn't sit right. That
we're
like
struggle to make a wild card game. But that's not surprising because you know you trade half the roster in the offseason, like,
and you lose.
There's not going to be any chemistry, and they're just not going to be as good.
Prospects too.
The problem. Okay, so we used to be really, really good at recognizing when players were falling off. But now we're just trading away assets. We traded away Luke Rayleigh. He was good.
Well, and I'm going to recognize that Davinsky has fallen off as well.
I don't even know who that is.
Well, yesterday's final score was, I believe, 10-1, and that is the pitcher was Davinsky. So.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I think it's also fair to recognize that we got rid of Tyler Glass now, who's had like what three Tommy John surgeries now.
Mm-hmm.
Like pitching he wasn't staff. Gonna be good. He's not gonna
what
come
happened
back.
Happened to that pitching staff, that 2021 pitching staff. So well, much can change 3 years.
I mean, Blake Snell, they couldn't pay him. Tyler Glass now couldn't pay him. Rich Hill could. He's
Charlie
45. So.
Couldn't pay him.
Well, and we've got some major arms. McClanahan is injured, and hopefully we'll get him back. Springs, same thing.
When they're healthy, it'll be one of the best pitching staffs in the league. But
if we can hang around the wild card for August and get those two guys back, that might be a difference maker. But yeah, right now, disappointing to me. Certainly not the start I expected either. I didn't expect 15-0. That was a pretty big anomaly last year, and they definitely regressed to the mean after that hot start. But we to me, the pitching is one thing, but I just don't see the offense really so far. So I'm hoping the bats can pick up, because that's really what we need.
This, I'm going to say it, because the loss of Franco was a really big undermining, because he was one of the best shortstops in the league last year. And then he just goes away. And then Taylor Walls fills in, and Taylor Walls looks really good. And now Walls hasn't even played this year because he's been hurt.
No, they've been leaning on Caballero at shortstop. I've seen him already make some mistakes in the field, which is disappointing, because, I mean, we didn't have to worry. Franco didn't make, you know, mistakes or errors at shortstop, and he was a huge part of the offense. I mean, a huge bat, hit for average, hit for power, you know, and so that is a huge disappointment for the Rays. They've still got him on the roster, but there's no way he's going to play for them again.
Never going to put on the uniform.
Legalities to play out so that he can't. So they
walk out to the dugout and straight into a prison cell, hopefully.
Yeah.
Dude needs to go away forever. I'm not even disappointed by this Rays team. You know, it is what it is. This is what it is every time they make a couple playoff runs in a row, and then they have to rebuild the roster because they refuse to pay anybody.
They've spent actually more money than they've ever spent on a roster. That was a big deal.
Which is insane.
In spring training. But,
you know, that's also what we saw like 2014 through 2019 before they started making playoff runs again.
The problem with this, why I'm most disappointed. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay. Oh, I can keep going.
Oh, yeah, because we're either winning 10-1 or we're losing 10-1.
Yeah, this is a very, very streaky team. When the bats are hot, the bats are hot. But when the pitching is cold,
freezing.
I mean, yesterday they lost forever to nothing. Like,
it was 10-1,
and today it's 8-2.
Eight to two. Yeah.
Like, this is not.
This isn't. This I it doesn't. You're messing with my heart.
The inconsistency.
This is just the way the MLB is now, though. I think
it's,
you know, you hit a couple home runs, and that's the only way you're going to end up scoring. So.
9-3, 5-2, 4-1, 10-7. We lost like five. We lost like almost all of those games.
And then two more things about the Rays. We lost Margot, and we also lost Siri every once in a while because he gets hurt so much. But it's a big issue.
All right, so we hope the Rays can definitely turn it up. A 500 record is not going to make it to the playoffs, so we hope they can find their footing soon and you get themselves ready and in playoff contention. But another big thing that we're going to turn our focus to soon is the NFL draft, and Noah is our crack research staff, a one-man band, and so he's been doing a lot of research on backs, particularly he calls it corners and quarters, but I also see a safety on the list, and I also see a guy that kind of plays a bunch of positions, but these are quarterbacks and cornerbacks, and these are his top 10 most underrated defensive backs and quarterbacks. So, Noah, why don't you walk us through this?
Number 10, Jordan Travis. He may be hurt, but he also is really good. Only two interceptions. I mean, this guy's going to dominate, and it's a really cheap draft pick for him. To get a top tier quarterback out of this draft class.
By the way, this is not the best quarterbacks and cornerbacks. This is the most underrated.
Correct.
Let's just make that clear.
Number 9, Keaton Slovis.
You gonna give yourself some fanfare? There you go.
There you go. From BYU, Pitt, and USC.
That may or may not be a future name Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's not. He's not what I would have expected, but he's got the physicals. And he was 71.9% completion percentage, which is through the roof. Number 8, Tyler Owens. It's our first safety on the list. I would comp him to Isaiah Simmons. He's the most athletic safety in the draft. He had a broad jump of 12'2". And his wingspan is 6'7".
12'2". Jeez.
Oh. He is absolutely.
Guy could jump out of the building.
Yeah. Number 8, our first name that 7. Would. Yeah, number 7. No, it's 8.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Number 7.
Yeah, I thought so.
Uh-huh. Number 7, Cooper DeJean. From Iowa, I think this guy is like Tyrann Mathieu. He's a really good safety, and he can switch in between corner and safety a lot. He plays a lot like Tyrann Mathieu, especially the way he hits. And it'll be helping with the new tackle rule because he doesn't use that kind of tackle a lot. Number six, a guy who I think is the best corner in the draft, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. He had 18 passes defensed. His 40 is 4.33. I comp him to Jalen Ramsey.
A 38-inch vert.
Yeah, this guy's insane. At number five, Tyler Newbin.
Second guy named Tyler on the list.
Also another safety.
It's a pretty popular name.
Yeah, he's from Minnesota. He played alongside Antoine Winfield, would really help the Bucks, helping add to that chemistry. All right, number four, the biggest arm in the draft, Joe Milton. This is Eli and Peyton Manning's favorite quarterback. And I actually comped him to Eli Manning in the way that he's actually clutch. Like, Eli Manning, we saw him beat Tom Brady. So I would say this guy, he can't beat Patrick Mahomes, but he has that ability in the late of a game to really get out there and run.
I didn't realize he was 6'5".
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but if you have 102 QBR, what are you doing outside of the second round?
All right, top three.
It's a loaded quarterback class, man.
Oh, yeah. Top three from Iowa State, the cornerback TJ Tampa.
That would look so good on the back of a Bucs jersey.
Oh, yeah. Jordan Poyer. He's really like Jordan Poyer. He's fast, and he can get around the field. He has the lateral movement that I like in a corner. If anyone can lock up Marvin Harrison Jr., it's this guy.
And for the record, TJ Tampa, a graduate of Lakewood High School here in Pinellas County.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Number two, quarterback from Tulsa.
Tulsa.
Michael Pratt.
The Golden Hurricanes.
We're talking about Tulsa in the draft. Josh what is Allen. Going on?
This is short Josh Allen.
Allen.
Short Josh Allen. Oh, yeah.
What are we talking about?
Five quarterbacks.
I'm sorry, but isn't a short Josh Allen just Jim Kelly?
Isn't half of Josh Allen's like importance his height? Dude, he's like 6'6".
This guy's really athletic. 4.6, 540, 9'6" broad jump.
He's not even that much shorter than Josh Allen.
Dude, this guy is insane. And he's 217 pounds, which makes me, he's big and he can move. All right, number one. This is my favorite player.
Your favorite sleeper.
In the entire draft. When I rank all of these in my top five underrated players, this is number one, no doubt. Daquan Evans from USF.
Oh my God, this guy again.
5'11".
He's obsessed.
He is 190 pounds. He had 3 sacks versus Alabama, Tyler. I'm going to be obsessed with this guy.
I may or may not have said this on the podcast one time, but when Noah sees like one guy, he becomes obsessed with him.
Oh yeah, Brandon
Daquan Evans.
Dude, Brandon Geyer,
Kyron Williams.
Oh, yeah. I compared this guy to Antoine Winfield, just the way that he can play anywhere. But, yeah, that's the list, and I think this is a really good list.
Devon Achan.
All right.
I have a non-sequitur tweet that just came across my screen that was really funny. Tom Thibodeau is going to Tom Thibodeau. Dante DiVincenzo just played 52 minutes in a game. NBA game lasts 48 minutes. That's crazy.
That is a very interesting stat. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
So we're going to be looking very soon at doing a mock draft ahead of the NFL draft. Noah's got another set of what position group do you have left, Noah?
Next up, the final one is running backs and tight ends.
You didn't do kickers.
So sorry. We'll include.
I can just look at like how many kicks they made.
What was that one kicker?
All the kickers are going to come out of the UFL.
Thicker kicker.
And they're all going to go to the Oakland Raiders in like the second round for some reason.
They're either going to the Raiders or the Patriots.
Or the Bucks will trade up and get a kicker again.
The Raiders are going to trade up to the first.
Completely normal activities.
That guy that just kicked us 264 yarders in the UFL.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that's all we've got for this week, folks. Thanks for joining us on the Dynamite Sports Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, X, Facebook, Threads. We cross post everywhere. We also post our videos on YouTube. So please check us out. We always finish with a